Good morning and welcome to the Desarrolladora Homex fourth quarter and full year 2011 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. We will provide additional time for participants wishing to ask questions when we conduct the Q&A session later in the call. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Vania Fueyo, Head of Investor Relations at Homex.
Good morning and welcome to the Homex fourth quarter and full year 2011 earnings call. Before we start, I would like to remind you that certain statements made during the course of this conference call about future events and financial results constitute forward-looking statements that are made pursuant to the safe harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainty. Discussion of factors that may affect future results are contained in our filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. We undertake no obligation to correct or update any forward-looking statement provided as a result of new information, future events, or even changes in our expectations. On the call with me today are Gerardo de Nicolás, Chief Executive Officer, and Carlos Moctezuma, our Chief Financial Officer. Gerardo will start the call by giving an overview of the housing industry in Mexico during 2011, highlighting our full year 2011 results, and providing some perspective on the future. Following his discussion, Carlos will carry you through our fourth quarter and 2011 financial statements in more detail. Then we will take your questions. I will now turn the call over to Gerardo.
Thank you, Vania. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on today's call. The year 2011 was an important year for the housing industry in Mexico, as key changes took place which will ensure a promising future for the industry in years to come. At Homex, we are particularly proud of our ability to adapt our business model to these changes, and therefore preparing us to take full advantage of the implicit benefits that these changes have brought to the housing industry. As many of you already know, as this has been a key subject during the year, one of the most important changes has been a new emphasis on vertical construction, strongly encouraged by CONAVI and INFONAVI. The government focus is to support the creation of better planned communities through increased density that creates economic, social, and environmental benefits for Mexican families and the country. Of course, this transition can be challenging to home builders, as the vertical construction cycle is naturally longer and at the same time, initial invested capital is higher. As an encouragement to home builders committed to the creation of better planned projects to embrace the vertical construction concept, CONAVI and INFONAVI have created some very real incentives, such as, number one, access to more and larger subsidies for customers. Number two, exclusive budget of subsidies. Number three, higher priority to mortgage applications linked to vertical housing. And number four, permanent registration with INFONAVI for mortgage applications connected to vertical housing. In addition, in 2012, INFONAVI will start a collection program whereby the Institute will advance 50% of the total payment as the construction of the vertical building reaches 75% of completion. I want to highlight that this program has not yet started, so we have not benefited from this collection process. But we're anxiously awaiting the introduction of this program in what we expect some 45% of our total construction in process in 2012 to be in vertical projects. In addition, the federal government has increased its budget for subsidies under this program by 57% for 2012 to 8.1 billion pesos, where vertical construction will also be importantly benefited. The 2012 subsidy program includes a scoring system based on each project's characteristics, such as location, density, equipment, and competitiveness. And we feel confident that through our focus of always having the best product offering in each market, as well as our rapid alignment to vertical construction, this will be translated for HOMEX into access to more and larger subsidies for our customers. As we have been outspoken, we're extremely well strategically positioned to take advantage of the incentives and additional resources from the subsidy program. As we have demonstrated our rapid alignment to these new trends reflected by the fact that as of December 31st, 2011, 40% of our product mix is vertical. More importantly, for the year, we were able to deliver positive cash flow generation of 103 million pesos in our Mexico division, demonstrating our ability to generate cash under a business model that by nature requires an initially higher capital investment and that our cash management system is working, while at the same time carrying a longer construction cycle. Here, I would like to highlight that we are pioneers in vertical construction, and today we are the company with the highest proportion of vertical construction in its product mix among our peers. Another major milestone for the industry during 2011, was the change in the Infonavit law, where among other changes in relation to the recovery of savings accounts for subscribers who have or are planning to retire, starting in May 2012, the Institute will be able to provide a subsequent mortgage for those affiliates who have already paid off their first mortgage. The relevance here is that it will bring an estimated additional demand of 1.9 million mortgages, adding approximately 56,000 mortgages annually. This change also reflects the government's encouragement for Mexican families to improve their quality of life with continued access to an Infonavit mortgage. Of course, this change provides HOMEX an additional opportunity to gain market share in the 34 cities where we have operations, as we continue to be mostly concentrated in the affordable entry-level segment. In fact, during 2011, 93.1% of our total units titled in Mexico were in this segment, while at the same time, Infonavit represented 50% of total collected units during the year 2011. During our third quarter 2011 call, we shared with you a new mortgage program for non-affiliated workers set by SHF. The program initially will budget some 20,000 units for 2012. The relevance of this first effort is to address this particular segment, where most of the 9 million housing deficit in Mexico is concentrated among potential customers who are not subscribers of Infonavit or Fovissste. Therefore, the program constitutes an additional long-term growth opportunity for the industry. In regard to demand and competition trends, according to the 2010 census, which was released during 2011, there are 4 million more inhabitants than the population growth projection, bringing an additional demand for homes which was not factored in mortgage institutions' projections and goals. Preliminary projections performed by some banks and analysts indicate that as a result of the 4 million more inhabitants in the country, Mexico will require approximately 176,000 more homes annually on top of the 600,000 household formation projection previously estimated for the next 10 years. On top of this, an additional opportunity for HOMEX will come from the continued consolidation process in the industry, which during 2011 was partly driven by continued liquidity constraints and stringent financing from commercial banks for some home builders, and on the other hand, by the natural barrier and the promotion of better planned communities that must comply with higher standards of sustainability, in addition to a higher density, implied on the efficient construction of vertical buildings of 3 to 4 stories. During the year, the number of homes registered in the RUV, which is an indicator of new home starts, contracted by 18% when compared to the 2010 levels, reflecting less effective competition that we are facing. At Homex, we feel confident that we will continue to gain market share, leveraging our improved product offering that already complies with the highest standards of sustainability, in line with established guidelines by Infonavit through their ICAVI index, as well as from the scoring system set by the CONAVI, which I previously discussed. Now, I would like to briefly discuss the results from the main mortgage financing institutions during 2011. For the year, Infonavit set a new internal record by granting 500,000 mortgages, which represented 5.5% growth when compared to the 2010 granted mortgages and surpassing their 2011 goal of 480,000 mortgages. Importantly, Infonavit non-performing loan ratio remained stable at 5.1% and without change compared to the year-end 2010 levels, demonstrating the effectiveness of the institute's mortgage origination criteria as well as its financial strength. From the granted mortgages, more than 67% of those mortgages were granted to families with monthly incomes of 2 to 11 times the minimum wage. Mortgages granted for families with a monthly income below 2 times the minimum wage represented 22%, while co-financing products represented 10%. Importantly, this mortgage allocation is correlated with Homex exposure to each of these segments, demonstrating the effectiveness of our strategy to follow mortgage and demand trends. Despite a slow start at Foviste, due to the performed changes in their mortgage authorization process, the Institute was able to accelerate its mortgage lending during the last months of the year and was able to grant 75,163 mortgages. The number of granted mortgages was below their 2010 result. Nonetheless, it's important to highlight that the lower result is due to the Institute's administrative procedures, including the raffle system to allocate mortgages, and it's not a function of a lower demand. Moreover, in 2011, Foviste, for the second consecutive year, emerged as the most important mortgage-backed securities originator in the Mexican market, an important reflection of the bond market's confidence in the institution. Commercial banks and Sofoles mortgage originations continued to experience a downward trend in 2011, where mortgage origination in volume declined 9.7%. As a positive sign, however, commercial banks have continued to participate in co-financing products with Infonavit and Foviste. On an annual basis, commercial banks and Sofoles invested 73 billion pesos in mortgage finance. During 2011, 167,155 subsidies were granted with an investment of 5.2 billion pesos, accomplishing 98.3% of the annual goal in volume and 97.3% in invest. Some 81% of the total subsidies were granted for new homes. All in all, during the year, the industry had a decline of 8.1% in volume, mainly driven by the lower mortgage formalization from Foviste that has previously discussed, but mainly explained by administrative delays faced during the year. This decline compares with our positive growth in housing revenues in Mexico of 8.9% during the year, reflecting the strength of our business model, where we have rapidly adapted our operations to the changing dynamics in the country. Now, I would like to briefly discuss the highlights of our quarterly and yearly results, and then I will turn the call over to Carlos to discuss them in detail. As it was the case for the housing industry in Mexico, for Homex, 2011 was a year of adapting to challenges and opportunities. Overall, I am generally pleased with our quarterly and annual results, as they reflect the consolidation of our strategies at our different divisions and the initial results of the efforts taken to efficiently adapt to new trends and conditions in Mexico. To facilitate the discussion of our results, I will do it by division. In Mexico, one of the most important achievements, as I already mentioned, was our successful transition into vertical construction. Reflecting our leadership in the market, for the year, we grew our housing revenues by 8.9%, totaling 51,421 units, representing growth of 16.8%. Some 93.1% of our title units were in the affordable entry-level segment of the market. From our total revenues, Mexico represented 93.3%, where the affordable entry-level in the country contributed with 76.2% of total revenue. During the year, we adapt our product offering to demand and mortgage dynamics. And as a result, our average price for all homes titled in Mexico decreased by 7%, mainly driven by a lower exposure to the middle-income segment. As a result of our mindful strategy to reduce our exposure to the middle-income sector, and in view of the fact that financing for the segment is still constrained. At the same time, as we expected for the year, the average price in the middle-income segment decreased by 13% to 950,000 pesos. In regard to our sources of mortgage financing, we have been capable of finding alternative sources of financing in addition to Infonavit and Foviste, which continue and will continue to be the main sources of financing for our housing customers. Nonetheless, we have found financing opportunities with state housing institutes, which particularly in the last quarter of the year became an important and additional source of financing for affordable entry-level customers. At the same time, we have started to see commercial banks become more active on financing the high affordable segment, bringing about brighter outlook for the segment as well. Moving to Brazil, as you know, this is our first international project. I see our yearly results as the tip of the iceberg of all the efforts that we have done since the initiation of our project. During the year, we grew our collected units from 326 during 2010 to 1,065 units. This improvement truly reflects all the knowledge that we have acquired and a better understanding of the dynamics at work in this country, which has resulted in more efficient working capital management. An additional important highlight of our results is that during the year, we were able to maintain a sustainable rhythm in our operations, demonstrating our capabilities to continue to exploit our acquired expertise in the country. In our infrastructure division, we continue to work with the state and federal government agencies in the execution of different building service contracts, which contributed revenues of 857 million pesos, or 4% of our total revenues for the full year 2011. Here, it's important to mention that our revenues for the year were lower when compared to 2010. The reason behind this lower performance for the year is that during the last quarter of the year, we focused on closing the last phase of the ongoing contract that we executed during 2011, and the new contracts that had been signed were not started until early in 2012. So timing was a factor in reported comparison. Importantly, as we shared in detail in our 2012 guidance conference call in December, we were also assigned to build and operate over a 20-year period two federal penitentiaries with a value of 10.6 billion pesos, which will provide HOMEX a permanent and reliable source of revenues during this period of time. Both penitentiary projects got underway successfully late in the fourth quarter of 2011, and we do expect to record our initial progress in revenues in the first quarter of 2012. Lastly, but not least, at our tourism division during the year, we did advance principally in fine-tuning our marketing and promotion efforts, our product offering, and in the restructure of our administrative personnel to improve our efficiency and profitability. As a result of our efforts, we have seen an increase of leads for our tourism projects. Because of the importance of free cash flow, and before I turn the call to Carlos, I want to discuss our results under this metric. As we mentioned in previous conference calls and meetings, to have a better understanding of our business and their profitability, we will start discussing and providing the breakdown of cash flow by division. For 2011, in Mexico, despite the fact that we increased vertical construction from 5% as of 2010 to 40% as of 2011, we were able to deliver positive cash flow generation of 103 million pesos, reflecting our ability to generate cash under a business model that by nature required an initially higher capital investment, while at the same time carrying a longer construction cycle. On a consolidated basis, we generated a negative cash of approximately 780 million pesos, which was mainly driven by investments in our Brazilian operation, which continues to carry the initial negative result from the first phases of our project. Nonetheless, as I just mentioned in this call and during the year, we have made important changes to align our investments to the collection rhythm of the Caixa Económica Federal. And as demonstrated in our quarterly and yearly results, these are starting to be reflected in improved collection. Thus, I feel comfortable with Brazil will continue to improve its working capital cycle. In addition, as we have started the construction of the penitentiary projects and have not booked revenues from this initial activity, this has also had a negative impact on our cash of approximately 105 million pesos. Now, I will turn the call over to Carlos, who will discuss our results in further detail.
Thank you, Gerardo, and thank you all for joining us this morning. As you know, during 2011, specifically during the third quarter, Mexico's currency was importantly appreciated, and as a result, our yearly and quarterly results were overshadowed by non-cash effects of the depreciation of the Mexican peso against the U.S. dollar, which had a negative effect on our statement of changes in our financial position that, pursuant to the Mexican financial reporting standards, has been historically presented as free cash flow, as well as impacting our margins. As I always do, I want to remind you that, pursuant to the application of the Mexican financial reporting standard D6, we are required to capitalize comprehensive financing costs, which include interest expense as well as exchange loss or gains, in relation to the translation of our U.S. dollar-denominated debt into Mexican pesos and monetary position, which during the year, as I mentioned, had an important effect in our results. For your convenience, I will discuss our gross profit, operating income, net income, and changes in our financial position of our free cash flow adjusted for the capitalization of comprehensive financing costs and FX effect. During the fourth quarter of 2011, our title volume totaled 15,345 homes, an increase of 29.5% compared to the fourth quarter of 2010, driven by a 32% quarter-over-quarter growth in the affordable entry-level collected units in Mexico, in line with our continued strategy of increased focus on that segment of the housing market, our core business. During the fourth quarter of 2011, homes sold in the affordable entry level in Mexico accounted for 88.7% of total title volume, compared to 87% for the same period in 2010. Middle-income volume in the fourth quarter of 2011 decreased 6.3% to 1,442 homes from 1,539 homes during the fourth quarter of 2010, in line with the proactive strategy of reducing our exposure to the middle-income segment, as Gerardo commented. Middle-income volume represented 9.4% of total title volume during the fourth quarter of 2011, a decrease of 359 basis points when compared to 13% during the fourth quarter of 2010. In Brazil, we demonstrate improved collections, titling 292 units, while during the year-ago period, we did not record any title homes due to some delays that we experienced. For the year, we titled 52,486 units, an 18.4% growth when compared to 2010, mainly driven by the 21.9% growth in the affordable entry-level housing segment in Mexico. In Brazil, we importantly tripled our title volume from 326 units to 1,065 units. Moving to the P&L, during the quarter, we achieved a revenue growth of 6%. The lower-than-expected result was mainly driven by lower revenues from our infrastructure division that, as Gerardo mentioned, during the last quarter of the year, we did not start the newly signed contract, which will also contribute to revenues from the infrastructure division for 2012. Nonetheless, total housing revenue, including our operations in Brazil, in the fourth quarter of 2011 grew 18.1% compared to the same period of 2010, mainly driven by a growth of 34.6% in the affordable entry-level housing segment in our Mexico division. Importantly, and reflecting our continued improvement in Brazil, we raised a revenue of 198 million pesos during the quarter, compared with 896,000 during the year-ago period. On an accumulated basis, as of December 31st, 2011, our revenue grew 10.5% to 21.7 billion pesos, below our annual guidance of 12 to 14%. The result was mainly driven by two factors. Lower revenues from our infrastructure division. This division contributed 170 million pesos lower revenue than in 2010, reflecting, as I mentioned, that during the last quarter of the year, we did not start the newly signed contract with the federal government, and the company worked on the current phase of the existing contract until finishing it before the start of the new phase. Secondly, and to a lesser extent, the experienced delays in the subsidy program also affected our revenue expectation for the year. Total housing revenues, including our operations in Brazil, in 2011 increased 11.2%, mainly driven by a 26.2% growth within the affordable entry-level segment from our Mexico division, mainly from volume growth within the segment as previously discussed. Revenues from Brazil represented 2.8% of total revenues during 2011, compared to 0.9% of total revenues during 2010. The company did not recognize revenues from the construction of the penitentiary's project during 2011, as the Certificates of Construction Advance, or CAPS, were not approved on a timely basis. We expect to recognize revenues from this work in the first quarter of 2012. Our gross margin for the quarter was 29%, as compared to 35.8% during the same period of last year. The margin decline was mainly driven by two factors. A change in our product mix, where, as we have mentioned throughout this call, our exposure to the middle-income segment has further decreased. The participation of the middle-income revenues as a percentage of total revenues was reduced to 21.7% in the fourth quarter, also reflected in our average price for all homes titled, which decreased to 404,000 pesos during the fourth quarter of 2011 from 448,000 pesos in the year-ago period. Secondly, during the quarter, we also incurred an additional cost of goods sold related to the licensing and permitting to adapt our projects to new density requirements and standards in relation to the company's alignment to vertical construction, as well as higher than expected municipalization costs. For the 12 months ended December 31, 2011, our gross margin was 32.1% compared to 34% in the same period of 2010. In addition to the factors just discussed, the lower margin of the infrastructure division reflecting the nature of the work performed in 2011, more of a revamping than building when compared to 2010, also play a part in the lower gross margin for the year. During the fourth quarter of 2011, selling, general and administrative expenses, or SG&A, as a percentage of total revenues decreased 619 basis points, from 17.2% in the fourth quarter of 2010 to 11%. The important improvement in the SG&A margin is mainly as a result of the continued efficiencies generated from the ongoing corporate and branch restructuring of administrative personnel in both Mexico and Brazil, as well as from improved collections in Brazil. For the full year 2011, total SG&A as a percentage of total revenues improved 236 basis points to 12.8% from 15.2% for the 12 months accumulated as of December 31st, 2010. During the fourth quarter of 2011, we achieved a 12.2% increase in our EBITDA to 1,350 million pesos from the 1,203 million reported in the fourth quarter of 2010. The EBITDA margin for the quarter improved 116 basis points to 21% compared to 19.8% in the fourth quarter of 2010, mainly driven by the efficiencies generated from the SG&A. On a year-over-year comparison, our EBITDA margin was stable at 21.6% compared to 21.4% in 2010, and in line with the company's yearly guidance of 21 to 22%. Net comprehensive financing cost, which excludes capitalized interest and foreign exchange fluctuations recognized in our cost of goods sold pursuant to Bulletin D6, was 3.5 million pesos during the fourth quarter of 2011, compared to 118 million during the fourth quarter of 2010. The lower cost of financing during the fourth quarter of 2011 reflects a net interest gain during the fourth quarter of 2011 of 113.4 million compared to a net gain of 12.6 million in 4Q10, as well as the recognition of a foreign exchange loss in the fourth quarter of 2011 of 116.9 million pesos compared to a loss of 130.3 million in 2010. As a percentage of revenue, net comprehensive financing cost was 0.1% in the fourth quarter of 2011 versus 2.1% in the fourth quarter of 2010. For the full year 2011, net comprehensive financing cost as a percentage of revenue remained stable at 1.6% compared to 2010. Net income adjusted by FX effects for the fourth quarter of 2011 was 404 million pesos, or a 6.3% margin compared to 500 million and a margin of 8.2% reported in the same period of 2010. The lower results during the fourth quarter of 2011 is mainly driven by two factors: a higher tax rate, which was 36.9% during 4Q11, compared with 22.6% as of 4Q10. In the fourth quarter of 2010, we had a yearly provision adjustment that reduced the tax rate recognized in the quarter, and the adjustment is, effect is clearer in the full-year comparison. Also, net income was negatively impacted by higher costs, partially offset by lower SG&A. For the full year 2011, as well adjusted by FX effects, net income was 1,765 million pesos, or an 8.1% margin, compared to 1,649 million and a margin of 8.4% for 2010. Both periods were affected by a higher tax rate in relation to the provision of the recovery of VAT taxes. To be clear, we do not expect to pay a cash tax rate equivalent to our effective tax rate. Instead, we estimate that our cash tax will continue to be in the range of 12 to 15% of our taxable income, though the higher effective tax rate affected in our 2011 and 2010 results is a non-cash item for the company. Turning now to the balance sheet. Before starting this discussion, I want to highlight the fact that as a result of the 12.9% depreciation of the Mexican peso against the U.S. dollar, we registered a higher capitalization of comprehensive financing costs during the year, a non-cash effect of the FX loss, which virtually increased our inventory, and as I previously mentioned, it also had an effect in the change of our financial position. As we have shared with you throughout the year, we have worked in both Mexico and Brazil on specific measures to improve our construction process. And as a result of these strategies, we have been able to improve our working capital cycle. Working capital cycle was 646, 5 days in 2011 compared to 652 days during 2010. The improvement was mainly driven by a 25-day decrease in inventory, partially offset by a 21-day decrease in the accounts payable. Year over year, total inventory decreased 25 days to 701 days from 727 days as of December 31st, 2010. On an annual basis, inventory balance adjusted by the capitalization of comprehensive financing costs increased by 2.7 billion pesos, mainly driven from the migration into vertical construction. As well, the inventory balance increased due to infrastructure investment in our housing projects in Mexico made in advance to complete the building and infrastructure process simultaneously, as well as from construction investments in relation to the company's building contracts with the Mexican government. Additionally, during the last quarter of 2011, we started the construction of the penitentiaries, where we booked approximately 105 million of construction in progress. Inventory days, when compared to the 12-month period ended September 30, 2011, decreased 41 days. Inventory balance, adjusted by the capitalization of CFC, decreased by 25,000 pesos, clearly evidencing our ability to keep a stable inventory balance while at the same time aligning our business model to vertical construction. Accounts receivable decreased 3 days from 36 days as of December 31, 2010 to 33 days as of December 31, 2011. Here, it is important to note that the level of our accounts receivable for both periods reflects the balance from our infrastructure division, that due to the nature of the contracts, revenues are booked under the percentage of completion accounting methodology. When compared to the 12-month period ending September 30, 2011, accounts receivable were stable, increasing by 1 day. Accounts payable decreased to 89 days when compared to 111 days as of December 31, 2010. The decrease, when compared to 2010, derives from a decrease in days of credit with material suppliers from 89 days in 2010 to 63 days as of 2011, reflecting liquidity and credit constraints for some of our material suppliers, resulting in lower days of credit for Homex. At the same time, accounts payable related to land suppliers decreased by 5 days as a result of our strategy to follow a conservative land acquisition replacement strategy. When compared to the 12-month period ended September 30, 2011, accounts payable decreased 22 days, mainly driven by lower days of credit with material suppliers, as well as from a lower AP from land suppliers, as AP balance for land decreased from 1.3 billion pesos as of September 30, 2011 to 1.2 billion as of December 31, 2011. As well, it is important to highlight that during the year, we used approximately 1.7 billion pesos of land, while we acquired approximately 900 million. On an accumulated basis, as of December 31, 2011, our capital expenditures, or CAPEX, was 136 million, well below our yearly budget of approximately 450 million, since we rescheduled a portion of the revamping of the concrete plants into 2012 CAPEX. Year over year, our total debt increased by 18.9% or 2.4 billion pesos, out of which 1.1 billion are related to the depreciation of the Mexican peso against the US dollar. From the additional 1.3 billion increase, approximately 400 million are related to an unrestricted subsidiary loan for one of the penitentiary projects. Net debt, adjusted by FX effects, increased by 851 million on a year-over-year basis. Importantly, during the period, we were also in compliance with all of our debt covenants, despite the effect of the depreciation of the Mexican peso against the US dollar. More importantly, we have now obtained amendments to our main credit contracts with our banks, and today we have a leverage ratio covenant, debt with cost to EBITDA, at 3.75 times, also incorporating the concept of unrestricted subsidiary to define our subsidiaries related to the penitentiary project, excluding them from covenant calculation. As you can see, a covenant breach should no longer be a subject of conversation for Homex, and I feel confident that as we continue to improve our profitability and working capital management, we will see our debt ratios improving over time. Now that I'm discussing our debt, I would like to take a moment to comment on the recent debt issuance that we performed. As many of you know, during the first week of February, we completed the private offering of $400 million at a coupon of 9.75%. The obtained resources will be used primarily to repay existing short-term indebtedness. Importantly, through this issuance, and on a pro forma basis, we will be able to extend the average maturity of our debt obligations from an average of 3.6 years to an average of 5.5 years while maintaining our financial ratios. To protect the company from the foreign exchange risk, we enter into a principal-only swap to hedge that risk associated with the principal amount of this debt at a rate of 12.88 pesos per U.S. dollar to 2020. We are satisfied with the completion of this transaction, which we believe will improve our maturity schedule and financial strength. We especially want to take this opportunity to thank our investors for their confidence in our operations and our record of sustained strong performance. This issuance positions us well to start 2012 with a more flexible balance sheet, and we will continue to work diligently to improve our balance and look for opportunities to follow a conservative strategy to favor cash generation and reduce leverage ratios. Now turning to the cash flow discussion, just to add to what Gerardo has already said, I want to highlight that pursuant to the Mexican financial reporting standards, we present the statement of changes in our financial position as free cash flow. Therefore, the company's changes in financial position reflect the booking of non-cash items due to the mark-to-market of the company's principal-only swap coverage instrument, as well as from the capitalization of the FX loss registered in the investment in the inventory, as previously discussed. Thus, under this accounting methodology, non-cash FX gains and losses are considered in the computation, therefore affecting the result. Having explained this, during 2011, the company registered a negative result on the changes in financial position as of December 31st of 1.9 billion pesos. From this result, we had a total non-cash impact of 1.2 billion as a result of the 13% depreciation of the Mexican peso against the U.S. dollar. Excluding the effect, the company exchange and financial position resulted in a negative flow as of December 31, 2011, of 780 million pesos. With Homex Mexico division, as Gerardo mentioned at the beginning of the call, generating a positive cash flow of 103 million pesos. As well, this level positively compares to the 2.4 billion negative during the year-ago period, evidencing improved working capital management. Furthermore, the result of the 780 million pesos for 2011 includes approximately 105 million capex from the penitentiaries project and 155 million from the net effect of the land acquisition in the period. I remain confident about the opportunities that we have to continue improving our working capital cycle in Brazil that will lead us to deliver a consolidated positive cash flow. We have demonstrated our capacity to achieve important construction efficiencies in Mexico that today have materialized in a positive cash flow operation on top of our alignment to vertical construction. I will now turn the call over to Gerardo for some final remarks.
Thank you, Carlos. In summary, I would just like to briefly discuss our expectations for the year 2012 for each of our divisions. In Mexico, we will continue to be focused in the affordable entry-level segment as we continue to see opportunities to grow our market share in the markets that we're attending today. And we are confident that through our improved product offering and alignment to vertical construction and compliance to sustainability and competition indexes from CONAVI and Infonavit, we will continue to be leaders in the country's housing industry. For 2012, we expect vertical construction to represent approximately 45% of total construction in progress. And as we have already demonstrated, we do not expect this to have an impact in our ability to generate cash flow. In Brazil, we'll continue to concentrate our efforts in aligning our business model to collections and improve our working capital cycle. We do foresee a promising 2012, as during recent years we have gained valuable knowledge and practical experience. We will continue to be focused on our three current projects located in the state of Sao Paulo and Mato Grosso do Sul. And we'll continue to focus as well on the lower income segment, where customers are financed through the mortgage program supported by the federal government called Minha Casa, Minha Vida. For our infrastructure division, during 2012, we'll continue to work with the state and federal governments, and as of the first month of the year, our work is well underway. In addition, as we did not recognize revenues from the penitentiary's project during 2011, revenues from the construction will be fully booked during 2012. As a reminder, during the construction period, HOMEX revenues related to this project will be recorded using the percentage of completion method. And we will start to receive cash payments from the government until we start the operation of the prison, where we'll receive an annualized inflation-adjusted payment of approximately 2.2 billion pesos for both prisons. This division will be a permanent source of revenues and positive margin contributor for HOMEX in the years ahead. And for our tourism division during 2012, we'll continue to follow a conservative investment and cost management policy, concentrating on our three ongoing projects at Loreto, Los Cabos, and Cancun. We look to 2012 with confidence, and we are reaffirming our guidance without considering the recognition of revenues from the expected construction of the two federal penitentiaries of 10 to 12%, and considering revenues from the expected construction of the two federal penitentiaries, our consolidated revenue growth for 2012 is expected to be in the range of 60 to 62%. EBITDA margin for the year of approximately 21 to 22% without considering revenues from the two federal penitentiaries. And we also reaffirm our guidance for positive cash flow generation in the range of 500 to 800 million pesos without considering the contribution of revenues from the two federal penitentiary projects. We thank you, all our shareholders, and HOMEX workers for your interest and confidence in the company. And now we will take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, please press 01 on your telephone keypads for any questions you'd like to ask at this time. Once again, 01 on your telephone keypads for any questions you may have at this time. Our first question is Esteban Pulidura from Deutsche Bank.
Perfect. Thank you very much, and good morning, Gerardo, Carlos, and Vania. I have three quick questions. The first one, can you please just give us a bit more detail on the specific reasons for not recognizing revenues from prisons, and especially if there is some risk that there are more delays throughout the year? My second question would be, what are you hearing in terms of new bidding processes for prisons? And finally, if you could let us know the split between your different business segments of cash burn in the fourth quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Esteban. The specific reasons for not recognizing revenues from the prisons on the fourth quarter is just an administrative procedure, because we were on the process of closing the financing. We, as of today, we already solved that situation. We made the first disbursement of both credits in January. The process is now working. And the way it works is that we receive a certificate of advance of completion called CAP, C-A-P, and with that, the government is recognizing the progress of the penitentiary. Those recognitions will start in the first quarter. And the most important portion of the percentage of completion recognition will be in the second and third quarter of 2012, because the more value-added construction is at the end of the construction. that includes the technology and the finishing. That's the reason we feel comfortable that we will be able to deliver the project on time. And that's why we say on this call that it's just an administrative issue. On your second question about the new bidding process, as we have seen in the last few weeks, we have seen some issues in penitentiaries in Mexico, and we understand that there's an opportunity to renovate, not only to increase the capacity of the federal penitentiaries in general, but to improve or to renovate many state penitentiaries. We believe that as long as the government and the judiciary system is improving, the number of inmates will grow, and that's why we as a country, we need to increase our capacity on the federal and the state level too. And Carlos will answer the your third question about the cash burden by division for the fourth quarter.
Hello, Stan. How are you? Related to the cash burn, as we stated in the release and in the call, we booked 1,981.61 million pesos of negative cash flow. Out of those, 1.181,000 million are related to the effects of the depreciation of the Mexican peso. That will leave you to the 780 million pesos of what we call free cash flow that is coming from the statement of changes. Out of that, I can tell you that about 103 million pesos are positive from Mexico, and 300 million are positive from the infrastructure division. Therefore, the balance is coming from the international division, and that's where we stand.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Gerardo and Carlos.
Thank you, Esteban.
Thank you, Esteban. Next, we have Joe Kogan.
I have two questions. The first is on the sources of mortgage financing. I noticed that in the fourth quarter there was much less mortgage financing coming from Infonavit and more coming from commercial banks and others. I was wondering if that's just a short-term phenomenon or if that'll continue going forward. And furthermore, considering that most of the houses you're selling are going to low-income groups, I was wondering what the nature of the programs are among commercial banks that actually allow them to lend to very low-income persons buying homes. And then my second question, just to clarify on the comprehensive financing cost, I understand that when you have a depreciation, you take a loss on the value of the dollar debt, and that's offset by the hedges in part. So is that cost just coming from the net effect of the part that's not hedged, or is it that the hedges don't factor into it? It's just the value of the debt. Those are the two questions.
Thank you, Joe. As you said, this shift during the fourth quarter was a short-term phenomenon, was mainly driven by the delays on the subsidy portion of the Infonavit and Foviste mortgages during the fourth quarter. In general, for Homex, Infonavit will be in the range of around 60 to 65% of our mortgages will come from Infonavit. We faced some delays in the fourth quarter because of the subsidies and some delays in Foviste too. And the commercial banks, as you said, the commercial banks are mostly concentrated in the middle income segment, and we will continue to fund our middle income clients through commercial banks. Another source of financing that we use during the fourth quarter for our clients, due to the delay on subsidies, is the state housing funds that are supporting mostly the state government workers. And we are working with some states in Mexico, and we were able to complement our numbers with those states housing funds. But in general, this was a short-term phenomenon, as you said, and in the future, Infonavit will become a higher portion of our sources of mortgages. And now Carlos will explain to you the comprehensive financing cost.
Hello, Joe. Regarding your question about the CFC, bear in mind that as of December 31st, 2011, we have two pieces of dollar-nominated debt. Well, two bonds, actually, of dollar-nominated debt, the $250 million due in 2015 and the $250 million due in 2019. We also have a short-term credit line in our books of $150 million with another bank that is unhedged. The only piece of the three that I mentioned that is fully hedged is the 2019 bond. So you have playing in the CFC the total principal of the 2015 bond and the other credit line of 150 million, plus the mark to market of the principal only swap of the 2019. That's why you have such a fluctuation in the P&L and in the balance sheet.
Okay, thank you very much for that. That helps.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Next, we have Mari Marta Roblanca of UBS.
Hi, thank you for the call. I have just two questions. The first one is if you could give us some guidance on net margin for this year and probably for like a more steady state going forward, and the second one is how have you seen subsidies progress so far given the delays seen in the fourth quarter?
Thank you, Marimar. Well, regarding the margins for 2012, and without considering the capitalization of interest, we expect our gross margin to be in the range of 32.5%. Or at that level, which compares February to our 2011 margin of 32.1%. In terms of the SG&A, we expect to continue with our program, which is an ongoing conversation. So we expect the SG&A as a percentage of total sales to be in the range of 12.6%, which compares to the 12.8% of 2011. And that's why we are confident. We have confidence in achieving our guidance of the EBITDA margin between 21% to 22% for the year.
And for the net margin level. I'm sorry. For the net margin, for the net income, would you be something close to where you were in 2011, or do you expect some improvement? Just to quantify how the financing costs of the new penitentiaries would impact the bottom line.
We didn't guide the market for net income. As you know, it's also dependent on the fluctuations on the FX in the country. About the debt in the penitentiaries are booked under the unrestricted subsidiary level, so it will be very clearly specified what are the costs related to that piece of financing and what are the costs for the financing for the housing division in the country. It will be clearer for you throughout our filings in this year.
Okay.
And Marimar, related to the subsidies, what we have seen is, as we mentioned during the call, the government has increased their budget for this year in 57%. To 8.1 billion pesos. We feel comfortable with our product mix because the vertical construction has priorities and a larger subsidy. And as we mentioned, we are facing a lower number of new homes being registered in the RUB. And that's why we feel comfortable that the subsidies or the budget for this year will be more than enough, and the potential delays will be much smaller, will have a smaller probability compared with previous year. We believe that CONAVI is doing a great job. The Congress is supporting the industry. The industry itself is being consolidated, and we feel comfortable that the delays will have a lower impact during 2012 in our numbers.
Okay, so would you say that, I mean, I know it's probably early to say this, but in the first 2 months of the year, have you seen like an unusually high seasonality? Like more homes than usual titled in the first 2 months?
No, with the numbers that we have, we see we are seeing a regular number. We are seeing a significant reduction in the number of new homes being registered. But in general, in terms of collections, we are seeing a regular year. There are some comments that maybe the numbers will be higher during the first two quarters of the year. But as of today, we are seeing a regular year in terms of collections.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Marina.
Next, we have Armando Perez from GBM.
Good morning, everyone. Just one question, if I may. I was wondering if you could give us some color regarding the contraction in other revenues, and if you have new contracts, or if you could give us the backlog of this business. Thanks.
Hello. Armando, how are you? Well, the other revenue line is basically reflecting our work under the construction contract that we have with the federal government, and that is related to basically the projects that you have seen in the past 2 years. The drop in the fourth quarter particularly is because in the 2010 period, more than 60% of the revenues booked under that division were recognized in the fourth quarter. So the comparison quarter over quarter is kind of a mismatch. And for the full year, you can see that we have, as we explained it in the conference call, we have lower than expected revenues in the range of about 170 million pesos lower than 2010, and this is basically because we focused on the then current stage of the existing contract, and we didn't start the works for the now signed executed contracts. That it's the new contract is in the range of 338 million pesos. That will be booked, the new contract, that will be booked in this first quarter of 2012.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Armando. Next, we have Jamie Nicholson from Credit Suisse.
Hi. Thanks so much for the call. Just regarding your cash flow guidance, can you tell us when you expect the Brazil operations to turn free cash flow positive? And then more broadly, one of the issues surrounding the housing sector has been some inability to meet guidance on free cash flow. And I'm just wondering that whether over the course of the year, if you see any issues coming up with delays or funding issues, how much flexibility do you have to change your business strategy or cut back on land purchases or other aspects of managing your cash flow to ensure that you can meet your guidance this year? Thank you.
Hello, Jamie. Well, regarding the operations in Brazil, we are working diligently to have more improvements throughout the year. As you saw, during 2011, we have major improvements in the titling, construction and titling process for our division in Brazil. We expect that division to become neutral during this year, and we will, as I said, diligently work towards that.
In terms of the general outcome for the holding company, we are not expecting further delays in the operation of the mortgage market in Mexico this year. We believe we have some flexibility to operate in the housing business in Mexico today. We will tact for you to identify perfectly what are the capital expenditures regarding the penitentiary program that we are following. So we will be easy for you to identify how is the housing business going on. It's an uncertainty, as you know, as any forecast. It has uncertainties. We have an election year this year, but we are confident that we have the flexibility to face it throughout the year.
Okay, thanks. And then just another question regarding your accounts payable. You mentioned that there was some of your material suppliers were having liquidity issues and were asking for earlier payments. Is that a trend that you're seeing continuing in this year, or was it more of a one-off aspect? In other words, do you think you can get some additional financing out of payables, or is that going to continue to come down? Thanks.
Thanks, Jamie. One of the reasons why we have a shorter term for some suppliers is because we are improving the logistics and we are working with them in more frequent deliveries, and that's why we need to change some suppliers to suppliers with shorter terms. We believe that the impact is already in place, and as long as our suppliers are able to increase the number of deliveries to our warehouses, we will be able to extend the term again in the future.
Okay, great. Thanks for that caller. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Next, we have Adrian Huerta, J.P. Morgan.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I have two quick questions. One, back on the prison penitentiary business again. I didn't understand, if you have already made investments, you have already started construction, but you have not recognized it yet, revenues due to some administrative issues. And when was this project originally expected to be delivered? I believe it was at the end of the second quarter. So is there really a delay now on when this is going to be delivered? And then the second question is on margins. We did see a decrease in gross margins, but mostly offset by lower SG&A. Was there also any type of accounting change there that explains this difference? And you also referred to permit costs that were one of the reasons for the lower gross margins. How much were the extraordinary permit costs that were incurred during the quarter, and why these were not capitalized and only recognized when the revenues on those units will be recognized? Thanks.
Thank you, Adrian. The delays on closing the financing for the prisons, that's why we were not able to book revenues in the fourth quarter of 2011. As we say, that problem has been solved. We made the first deployment of these credit lines already, and we are working with the government and the external company that is supervising the construction on the certificates of advance of completion, and the process is now going underway. We feel comfortable that we will be able to deliver the prisons in time. The expected delivery for one prison is the beginning of the third quarter. For the other prison is in this year, but we are still negotiating with the federal government because of a delay generated by the state government on permits that was not attributable to HOMEX or the federal government. And that's why we're negotiating the delivery of the second prison. We feel comfortable that we will be able to... Yes.
No, sorry.
Yes?
Yes, I'm here. No, sorry for that.
We feel comfortable that we will be able to deliver both prisons in the third quarter of 2012.
Okay, did you actually make an investment then? Already or not?
Yes.
As of December 31st, we made 105 million pesos of investment that is accumulated in work in progress.
Okay, so quite small relative to the investment of 7-point-something billion that is expected, right?
No, because that's in one prison, and in the other prison, the investment is in the range of 700 million. But the investment in both is 800 million. We're working on the shareholders' agreement with our partner in the second prison to be able to move both revenues.
Okay.
Accordingly. But we feel comfortable that we will be able to deliver both prisons during the third quarter of 2012.
Perfect. Thank you.
Regarding the gross margin, Adrian, we didn't really experience any accounting change during the quarter. So the gross margin decline is, as we explained during the call, is about the product mix and the excess cost that we incurred to the permitting and licensing. About 150 basis points of the difference, so 500 basis plus points between the two periods, is coming from the mix, and about 300 basis points is coming from the licenses and permits. We cannot capitalize those because it's cost incurred in the Mexican Financial Reporting Standard. So it needs to go through results by the time you actually execute the payment. So that is why it's there.
Excellent. Thank you, Carlos. Thank you so much, Gerardo, as well.
Thank you, Adrian.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a quick reminder, 01 on your telephone keypads for any questions you'd like to ask. That's 01 on your telephone keypads for any questions you may have at this time. Next, we have Francisco Suarez from HSBC.
Hi, how are you? Good morning. Francisco Suarez from HSBC. My question relates with, again, it is a follow-up question on the prisons. Are you confident that the delays experienced so far will not jeopardize the overall profitability of this project? I mean, in other words, if I'm not mistaken, you might face penalties if not delivering on time. So the question here is that, how about your overall confidence on your guidance on profitability on these contracts?
Thank you, Francisco. We feel comfortable that we will be able to maintain and increase the profitability of these projects. The delay was mainly administrative and related to permits at the state level at the beginning, but is not compromising the profitability of the project. We have found some savings on the most important portion of the cost, that is the technology and the finishing. We have been working, even if we were not able to book the revenues, we have been working on all the details and contracts with our suppliers to be ready to put into the construction at any specific time the different suppliers that will contribute with us. We have already defined the technology supplier, the companies that will operate the penitentiaries with us starting in the third quarter, and we feel confident that we will be able not only to maintain but to increase our profitability on the prison business.
Okay, good to know. Thank you for that. And secondly, a broader question, if I may, related with the new scoring system that will be begin to show up in April. It seems that all home builders have just to make additional investments and just to make eligible their projects for the overall subsidies, and of course to take advantage of the new improvement in pricing. The question that I have for you is that you have stated clearly that densification, that the 70 homes per hectare is a strong factor for you to make you feel more confident as for overall investments this year. But my question relates with the other factors that this current system takes into account, mainly those related with location on the projects and how that might or might not impact your overall cash flow going forward. I guess that the overall question is that perhaps your overall guidance on growing your core business might be too aggressive if you plan to deliver free cash flow, positive free cash flow for this year.
Thank you, Francisco. We're working on a detailed plan, project by project, and making decisions with a cost-benefit analysis on the different requirements to increase our scoring. And in most of the projects, we will be able to be at the top of the scoring, but in a small portion of our projects, we are making decisions to be in the next level, in a lower level, and maintain the current prices, because the cost of adding the infrastructure is more expensive than the benefit of increasing the prices. But we have that analysis project by project, and we feel confident that in the overall profitability of Homex will be maintained, and we do not foresee any negative impact during the second quarter or after the second quarter because of the scoring system.
Okay, great. So in other words, not all the time applying or targeting an S1 scoring makes sense, because doing that might consume a lot of your cash flow and profitability. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, Francisco, because maybe if we need a hospital close to our development and we don't have it, we will not be able to build it.
Great. Thank you. Very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Francisco. Next, we have Rafael Pino.
Good morning, gentlemen. My question is actually a follow-up of Francisco's question. Do you, by any chance, have any sort of minimum return guarantees or any provisions in the contract that can protect you from, say, further delays or any sort of situation like that to happen in the contract down the road? Let's remember that this is a fairly long relationship with the government.
Yes, we have many clauses in the contract that we can negotiate with our clients. If something happens with the delays, we have a penalty if we do not deliver on time. But we are negotiating. This is a big contract, and we have many different participants at the state level, federal level, at the local level. We are generating a new region that will generate some economic activity around in terms of roadways, et cetera, at least for the next 20 years. But we have received a very well understanding with our clients to address any delays that we have faced, and we feel comfortable that in the future we will maintain this relationship with our clients.
Okay, but, I mean, you have penalties for certain delays, but not necessarily a guaranteed type of return. It's something that you have to go after and negotiate in case those delays hurt your overall profitability. Is that did I understand it correctly?
No, we don't. The delay, the most important penalty is in the delivery of the penitentiary. And as I say, we have some clauses on the if we need to go back with our clients to specific reasons that will impact our profitability. But today we don't foresee any of those conditions to go back with them. We feel comfortable with the profit levels that we have, and today the relationship with our client has been great and accordingly to the contract.
Okay, I get it. If you allow me a second question, it's a more technical one. If I understood it correctly, by the time you announced these penitentiary projects, Holmex will retain ownership of the prisons, of the assets, at the end of the contract. Is that right?
Yes, that's right, Rafael.
Okay. So I would like to understand a bit better why, if this is an asset that will be retained by Holmex, I understand you are, at the end of the day, you are a contractor at building this for the government. But if you're holding the asset, so my understanding of the accounting rules tell me that this shouldn't necessarily be percentage of completion, but I may be wrong here. So I'll just like you to clarify why your auditors and accountants guide you towards using POC system for this project versus using a sort of completed project accounting for it. Could you help me up here?
Yes, Rafael. We have a technical advisor inside. We went to our external auditor to review the entire strategy to follow up this process. We both between the three parties agreed that according to the IFRS and the current Mexican accounting standards, the advance of completion method is the one to apply in this particular case. I believe the other companies doing the same thing in Mexico follow the same logic. So that's where we're standing. We will follow this particular method of accounting until if you want the rule, we can set it up and send it over some articles about it.
No, clear, Carlos. The key point for me is the ownership of the assets. I mean, I understand that under IFRS rules, if you are working as a contractor, which means you are building something for someone else to hold or and to be the owner, you should use POC. But in the case, as you are holding the ownership, that creates a bit of a confusion for me. So maybe this is not the right time. You should have other questions to reply. We could have a conference call later on to discuss this. I'll stop it here. Thanks.
Yes, Rafa. Just bear in mind that we have both the concession and the construction. So we can follow up later if you want with the details on the technicalities.
Thank you so much. I've been getting some questioning around that. That's why I'm raising the issue, and you should probably be aware. Thank you, gentlemen, and have a nice day.
Thank you,
Rafael. Next, we have Robert Donald from Sora Fund Management.
Good afternoon. Just a few questions. Just really an accounting question first, and I'd like to just understand your guidance. The definition of EBITDA to others on the call who are more familiar with you, they're probably very familiar how you define this, but the adjusted EBITDA, I struggle looking through the P&L account to understand what factors you've adjusted for that get you to the 4.7 billion. I can get to more like 5.5, so I just want to get the base of 4.7 understood. If you could just let me know on this call, that'd be kind.
Yes, Robert. In the press release, in the adjusted EBITDA section, we included a table with a reconciliation of the EBITDA from the net income, both in the quarter and the year.
I appreciate that. I could not find it in the release. Which page is that?
It's on page 16 on the release. If you cannot find it, we will be happy to send it over to you.
No, I have that here now. Okay, so the depreciation is a slightly different figure than you showed through the cash flow. In the cash flow, you showed $352 million. In this table, using 432. And the... Okay, and the other question is just on the guidance. Could you just give us a bit of color for what you're expecting in terms of the mix between the middle-income units and the affordable units, and what sort of shape of volume growth you're expecting to deliver?
Yes, Robert. In the mix, in terms of volume, affordable entry level will be in the range of 90 to 93%. In terms of revenues, will be in the range of around 73 to 75% affordable entry level. That depends on the market conditions, no?
Yeah. And just on your guidance, lastly, and again, apologies, others on the phone probably understand this better than me, but the EBITDA margin guidance you've given for including the federal penitentiaries, the EBITDA margin there is higher at a group level than excluding it. Why is that coming through as such a accretive EBITDA margin? In the first year, will you be actually running the prisons already fully utilized, or is there a ramp-up which will come through in 13-14? Because I'm just surprised by the EBITDA margin, including the penitentiaries.
Yes, Robert, the fact is that since we're following the advance of completion method, all of the revenues coming from the construction of the penitentiaries are coming during this year. And obviously the SG&A is not comparable as of the amount of revenues that we were recognizing, and that's why the EBITDA margin ramps up in that significant
year.
So
this year you're just going to include the value of the project and the implicit construction profitability on it. There's no operating profit recognition for the penitentiaries coming through in the year. Is that correct?
That is correct. The way it works is in the advance of completion is that you recognize the cost and the revenue. I mean, the cost incurred and therefore the revenues that that cost.
Have you expensed any of the costs in previous years? Because the implied EBITDA margin that you're going to recognize on purely the construction is very considerable indeed. I mean, it's unusually high.
Well, that's our expectation for the gross for the cost to be in the construction versus the profit.
I mean, I haven't done the arithmetic, but it looks like you're implying. It looks like you're implying, on the. You're implying a higher EBITDA margin on the construction of the federal penitentiary more than you are getting on your normal development housing business, which I find strange.
No, that is exactly right. Yeah, the penitentiary project is a more value-added and more profitable project compared with an affordable entry-level home. It includes more technology and more detail in terms of the construction and the security, and that's why we are able to have a higher gross margin in the penitentiaries project than in the construction of an affordable entry-level home, an average home.
Okay. And just lastly, do you have a pipeline of other such projects to be building or have any licenses for other projects in the future?
Well, our infrastructure division is comprised not only by the penitentiaries but also other kind of construction in progress or construction contracts with the federal government. Today, we have signed a $338 million contract with the federal government for this quarter, as I mentioned before. And our expectation is to have about $1 billion in revenues coming from the infrastructure division, ex prisons,
for those type of construction contracts with the federal government.
But do you have any other prison projects? Because the prison and loan is adding $9 billion, $9.5
billion. Well, the penitentiaries are now at the... We're discussing with the, with three states at state levels, because obviously this federal program is just one part of the solution. The other part of the solution are the state... The state prisons rather than federal. So we are already in conversations with federal, with governments of the states, but we have nothing yet to inform you.
Sorry, I'll make this really my last question. Do you actually provide the land under which these prisons sit, and therefore is that part of your competitive advantage that you can bring to the local state a location and the planning, etc., already sorted, or are you building purely on their land?
No, Robert, we are contributing the land, and that's one of the key advantages of HOMEX, because we are one of the largest land buyers in Mexico in general, and we have the ability to find the land, to get the permits, and create that economic region that I was mentioning. We are providing the land, and we believe that we will be able to give these benefits at the state level, too.
Thank you.
Just to give you an idea, the number of inmates in Mexico is around 250,000, and every federal prison is adding 2,000 inmates' capability. Then the market is immense. The opportunity to renovate penitentiaries at the state level is immense, too.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert. This concludes today's Q&A session. Ladies and gentlemen, I turn the call over back to Vanya.
Thank you, everyone, for your time today. And you can find us in the usual numbers. And as well, you will be able to find a replay of this call in our webpage. So thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your time and attendance. This conference is now concluded. You may now disconnect from your telephone lines.